Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Unleashing Deep In podcast. I am your host, Tyler, and I'm really excited about this next conversation. This guest is doing a project that's a little bit different from some of the other projects that we've gotten a chance to chat about on the podcast, but it's very much in the realm of Deep In and DY, and I think it's really an important mission and an important project that this founder is going after. So anyway, I wanted to invite Lewis on. Lewis is the founder of DY Cats. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Tyler. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I just want to clarify, I'm the co-founder. My other co-founder is Marcial. And yeah, I can start with a quick intro on myself. My name is Lewis Perrone. I'm the co-founder of DY Cats. I was born in Ecuador, raised in Miami. And yeah, my journey into Web3 began in college. Actually, one of my best friends got me into Bitcoin. He told me to just buy it. I trusted him. And then kind of after that, I kind of started digging into Ethereum and other chains. And I think like by 2019, I was just kind of a regular crypto investor. It wasn't until 2020, until my co-founder introduced me to Helium Hotspot. And he sends me some link. It was like a TikTok link. He's like, hey, look at this thing. I was a bit skeptical at first, but you know, we went with our guts, and after that, we became really invested into crypto. We actually got into Ethereum, started participating in hackathons, and after that, yeah, you know, we started contributing, and we just really got into DY in general.
Yeah, you've definitely been around for quite some time in terms of the history with what you've been doing. And for those that don't know, your day job is at Helium. You're one of the developers at the Nova Labs team, correct?
Correct, yeah. So I work on the Helium mobile team as part of the Nova Labs. And I've been there for about 2 years. The way I got in is funny. I ended up contributing to an open source app, to the Helium Hotspot app, one of the OGs. And after that, shortly after, I got a gig at Nova Labs, and I've loved it ever since.
That's so great. It's kind of funny that, you know, your story started with what was a TikTok, seeing if it was going to be a scam, and now you're at the company, which is pretty amazing just to think about how that started and where you're at now. So your first introduction to DY was through Helium. Were there other DY projects that sort of had piqued your interest? Obviously, being at Nova Labs, I'm sure that's got to be your bread and butter in terms of focus and whatnot. But what was your analysis of the landscape prior to launching DY Cats, which we'll chat about in a bit?
Yeah, so really, you know, you answered it. My entry into DY was primarily through Helium. It was really my co-founder that got me into the hotspot mining. And, you know, we saw the success that we had with hotspot mining. So we just like, we got really deep into it. We started learning more about Helium, what other DY products were doing. And, you know, that led to my contribution to the Helium app. Of course, now we look at other DY projects. You know, we love to see what Demo's doing, the Hive Mapper project. So we started really deep into Helium, but now we're just, you know, we're really expanding.
Well, one of the amazing things about DY is that all of these projects are very complementary. When you think about, you know, Demo or Hive Mapper leveraging Helium, which, you know, it's amazing to see that happen in real time, especially with all the traction that these projects are getting, especially, you know, with Helium Mobile, I'm sure. But I'd love to talk about DY Cats, which is a project that you are a co-founder of. Can you give us a really high-level overview of what DY Cats is and sort of what it set out to solve?
Yeah, I could actually start with how we started with the idea. That's cool. So, yeah, DY Cats was actually born. The idea was born in 2022. My co-founder and I, we had been thinking about it for a while, and the initial idea was, we know how difficult it is for people to set up hotspots. We know that there's a lot of maintenance that goes around, but people still want to get into Deep In, and so we knew that that was kind of a good problem. So we're like, how can we get people into Deep In, make it fun, and just, you know, create this like Deep In community? And that's where like DY Cats was really, that was the problem we were looking to solve. And so at the time, Helium was on its own L1. We're like, we're going to do this on Ethereum. It was going to be, you know, a bit involved to be able to build something like that. And it wasn't until Helium announced our migration plans in 2023 that we decided, hey, we'll pivot to Solana. It was perfect. And, you know, we wanted to merge like the utility-driven focus of like a NounsDAO approach and the engagement of like a Moonbirds NFT. So we like, let's bring this all together. And so by having these hotspots backed, you know, having the treasury backed by these hotspots, we're creating this like infinite fund for the treasury. And then now like we can fund projects using these tokens that these physical devices are generating.
That's so cool. And it's such a great application of these kind of novel Web3-isms with DAOs in particular. And maybe for folks that aren't familiar with that term, you know, if you're really involved with deploying physical infrastructure, this might be a term that they haven't heard of. You touched on Nouns, which I know you and I talked offline a little bit about how I was a big fan of that project. But can you kind of share for the audience what a DAO is and what the purpose of the DAO is supposed to do?
For sure. I think, you know, the most simple way of explaining it is, you know, a DAO is really a way of managing governance on chain. And when I say governance, you know, how do things happen in this project? You know, there's a way of going around things. So, you know, you have a proposal. This proposal needs to be vetted by the team, vetted by the community. If everybody, there's a kind of a common agreement and, you know, they want to propose it, it gets proposed, the whole community votes on it. And based on these proposals is what's driving the future of DY Cats. And that works with every DAO, right? So if you look at the Helium protocol, they have their own DAO, and that's how things can get passed and how new features can be introduced into the Helium network. So it's very similar.
Now, that's amazing. Can you share some of the mechanics of how DY Cats works? There's a PFP component, an NFT that people hold. Can you just talk through kind of the life cycle of how a user engages within the DAO and becomes an ecosystem participant?
Yeah, for sure. So the first thing you'll need is a PFP, this DY Cat. And this DY Cat is really, in a way, a governance token on itself. It's your way into what we call DY Hall. And DY Hall is our DAO. And there, as a DY Cat holder, you're able to propose ideas, use some of the treasury funds for your ideas, vote on ideas by the community. And, you know, you're able to join these really cool chats that we have on Discord of, like, you know, just Helium Maxis, Deepin Maxis. And, you know, it's great. We've been coming up with so many great ideas. And you have a lot of support in this community. I think that's, you know, that's a good generalization of what you get with DY Cats.
Yeah. Well, and you guys are solving a real problem, which is that there's a lot of people that see Deepin as an opportunity, as something they want to get involved with, but going out and deploying physical hardware can sometimes be a barrier that's just too high for them to enter into the space. So how is DY Cats and really more DY Hall on the DAO side solving that problem and making Deepin accessible for everybody?
Yeah, good question. So we actually started the treasury with 10 hotspots. The team donated 10 hotspots into the treasury, so that's already happened. We're maintaining those, et cetera. A lot of times, you know, there's so many difficulties when it comes to maintaining a hotspot or even deploying one. This is taking that away because now the treasury and the community is managing this. So, for example, right now Helium 5G hotspots can't be deployed in Europe. It's only a thing in the United States. So if you're a European Helium like Maxi, or just, you know, you just love Helium and you want to get into this, you can buy a DY Cat. And now you'll become part of this community that has these miners. You know, it's not mine, it's not my side, it's the whole community's, right? And so everybody decides what to do with those funds. And I think that's how it really makes it easier. You know, you don't have to maintain this anymore.
Yeah. Now that's pretty amazing for people that either they're outside of the country and they can't participate, or they just don't have time. Like, I know that the prospects of going and talking to businesses and setting it up, that can be either a little bit nerve-wracking or something that people just don't have the time necessarily to do. And so participating with a bunch of like-minded folks who then are able to go deploy that is really cool. How do you figure out who does the boots on the ground deployments for something like a Helium mobile hotspot, for example?
Yeah. So another great question. So what we're planning to do is introduce a proposal that's going to have, you know, a process to how we introduce new hotspots. There's already so many community members that have been like, oh, I want to give a hotspot. Like, And we would love to take these hotspots, but we have to have a process around it. We want to like scale slowly, right? And so the idea here is this proposal will have the process of, you know, how much does the business owner get? We're going to have to split to the business owner.
Right.
What split goes to the DAO, et cetera. And the idea is we would partner up with a top deployer to help us in this. So it would be a DWare Cast plus top deployer partnered up. And I think like that, we can really get things going real quick.
That's incredible. And do you have other sort of plans or expectations for other types of DPIN hardware or DY hardware that could be deployed that it may be a little bit different where you're not setting up like a Helium miner, for example, but a Hive mapper or a Demo? Do you sort of have the rough skeletons in place of how that will manifest itself in the future?
For sure. We think that by starting with these Helium hotspots, we're going to be setting a blueprint for all these other, you know, DPIN miners, hotspots, you know, whatever you want to call them. And we're going to start with Solana DPIN just because that's going to make it easier for us to scale. Right. We love Demo. We love what they're doing, but they're on Polygon, right? So we're going to start with Solana, and then eventually we would love to do cross-chain DPIN projects, and that would be really great.
Yeah, I think that would be really awesome for people that are joining the community. One of the things that I'm super interested in is that I've loved the prospects of decentralized governance. I think you look at projects like NounsDAO, for example, which we talked about, which is really cool. Obviously, Helium has been around and done a good job of building out what is a ginormous decentralized ecosystem. It's really hard, though, to build decentralized governance in sort of the right way, considering there's so many different stakeholders and so many different competing opinions and thoughts and whatnot. And so I'm just sort of curious as to how you determine the right approach for building the governance side of the DAO, knowing that it's a little bit tricky. Can you just talk through some of the decisions that you made or some of the examples that, you know, you looked at and said, we want to emulate this or replicate that within the DAO side?
For sure, yeah. You know, when we started on Ethereum, we had, Marcial and I had been really deep in Ethereum, and we were so used to like these really beautiful crafted DAOs, custom experiences. Really, every NFT project that we saw on Ethereum had its own vibe to it. And when we went into Solana, we saw Realms, and we were like, wait a second, this is one big app with a bunch of DAOs. And so we didn't like that. We're like, okay, we're going to create our own custom experience. And so we had thought about doing it with Realms. But shortly after, the Helium Foundation decided to create their own governance protocol. And we decided to work together with Noah and the team. If you're not familiar, Noah is the head protocol engineer in the Helium Foundation. That guy's a genius. He ended up building his own protocol, and we kind of made a deal with them. We're like, we'll help you make build the documentation for this protocol. Just make sure you support NFTs. And that's what happened. And we ended up using the Helium modular governance to build our DAO and build this awesome custom experience, amazing SDKs, so easy. And that's exactly what we wanted. Like, we wanted something so custom so that we can do anything we want. One of the features we want to add is make it Web2 accessible. And the way by doing that is by adding something like Magic Link. Where we see this going is, you know, anybody can buy a DY Cat. You don't have to really be so deep into Web3. You can use your Magic Link email, buy it with a credit card, things like that. And really, Helium modular governance, you know, really supports that. That's the only way we're going to get around that was by using this new protocol.
Yeah. And I think it speaks to your guys's vision of the future about wanting to be able to sort of onboard and support Web2 folks who don't necessarily have a wallet and they don't have crypto, and then also leveraging existing governance models and structures to be able to scale quickly. I think that'll definitely help support you guys being successful more quickly and getting traction. You talked about the purchasing process of a DY Cat, and your guys is buying a DY Cat or minting a DY Cat is a little bit unique. Can you talk through what that looks like for people that are interested in buying one of these NFTs?
For sure. Our initial launch, we kind of had a soft launch, I like to call it, in February. We had a limited quantity of NFTs that were sold or that were minted. And the process was a bit unique. We had everybody who was really early on interested in the project get whitelisted or allow listed. And after that, they were able to get access to this art engine that we built. And this art engine allowed everybody to build their own D-Way cat with this box that they had. There was a cat inside, right? And they were able to build it. Every box had its own unique set of attributes. We wanted to make it so that there is still that rarity involved, but also everybody had this sense of connection with their DY cat. A lot of times there's mints where you just mint something, you don't like it because it's randomized. So we wanted to create that sense of connection. And so we built this really cool launch pad, we like to call it, where people were just minting the DY cats that they wanted. And we got a lot of good feedback from that. And so that was the initial launch. And then moving forward, the way to get a DY cat is now through the auctions, which will be coming very soon. We're going to have 365 auction DY cats. And every DY cat will be minted via some D-Pin token. That's all I can say for now.
Interesting. And
if you don't want to go through the auctions, it's always available through the secondary markets.
Sure. And yeah. For the auction side, you mentioned there's going to be 365. Is the auction going to be all at once for different numbers, or is it going to be somewhat like the Nouns DAO where it's one a day? Do you have any information on that that you can share with people?
Yeah, so it is going to be one a day. We actually had, when we launched our first soft launch with the limited amount of NFTs, we had one auction, DWCAT number one. It was a special box that had all the traits. And so we kind of wanted to give the community a sense of how these auctions would work. And it was very successful. It was great. People loved it. And so, yeah, it's going to be very similar to Nouns DAO every 24 hours.
That's so cool. That was one of the first things that I really loved about the Nouns DAO, was that you got one, and there's sort of that excitement that builds as you're watching the bids come in. And it makes it really fun for those that are just interested in getting involved. Right now, you mentioned that the best way to get a, you know, if they didn't get it in on the initial mint, they're on the secondaries. What's the timeline? Do you have sort of a rough timeline of when people can expect these 365 available daily to come into the mix? Are we talking a few weeks, a few months, just for folks' expectations?
We're thinking a few weeks. We would love to have this launch by, you know, the next 2 weeks. We actually have a proposal right now going on, the first official proposal, which is introducing incentivized referrals for auctions.
Nice.
And so if you haven't been able to read that, I really recommend it. It's a great way to incentivize people to refer people to bid on these auctions. And it has this reward pool involved. So I think people are really going to like that.
Interesting. That's pretty novel. I haven't heard of any referral-like program in an auction bid for NFTs before. Is that something unique that you guys created yourself?
Yeah, so Marcial, my co-founder, he thought of it. He created the proposal. I think it's a great way to get people who are already in the community involved in the bids, and also, you know, incentivize them for other people to bid on it, right? And then they're working to get this portion of the reward pool from the auction proceeds.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I really like that. That's an interesting way of just getting people involved, like you said. And it's unique and different, which referrals are always an important part of building interest and demand. Completely unrelated to the actual sort of DAO aspects of the projects, I'm just curious, how did you land up on the cats for the actual PFP side of the mint? Was there any genesis to that that said, this is what we want to do, or you guys just love cats? Like, what was, why cats in particular?
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, we went through so many animals. We knew we wanted to do an animal.
Okay.
That was kind of like, it's been really popular. People love animals. And I think we wanted to get something that people can connect to. I think we had gone through bears, dogs, and then we ended up landing on cats just because, well, I really love cats. And Mercedes does like cats as well. We thought people would really connect with it. We didn't see I guess there is some cat PFPs, but we didn't see something the way we were imagining these cat PFPs to be. What's funny is I have a cat called Luna, and she looks exactly like our logo. Like,
that's
so
awesome.
She became the logo, and we kind of just ran with that.
I love it. For people that are maybe interested in sort of the NFT side, PFP art, Is the art itself generative with these 365 like nouns, or how does the actual art side of it get generated?
Yeah, so when the initial creations happened, you know, people had access to this art engine. They were creating it themselves for the auctions. Every auction is going to be different, right? Some of them are going to be already generated. Sometimes we're going to have boxes, so people are going to be able to create cats.
Nice.
We're going to have some legendaries. Legendary NFTs are ones that, you know, none of those assets have ever been used or are in the art engine. Completely one out of one, unique. And so that's how, you know, there's even going to be boxes with a legendary inside of them. So there's going to be so many different types of cats in these auctions. Every day is going to be different.
Do different levels of rarity, like legendary, does that translate into different amounts of governance that it represents? Or can you just unpack a little bit about how the different cats maybe give different rights within the DAO?
Yeah, so the legendaries are going to be given, or they are given 2x governance power. So a regular DY cat is given 1x, and the legendaries are 2x. And I imagine that's going to translate into other proposals, right? So with this 30% reward pool proposal for the auction referrals, every entry that a legendary cat makes would be 2x, because they're legendary.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. So people are definitely going to be bidding those things up when they come available, right?
Yeah, we actually have 4 legendary NFTs already minted. They were given to special community members, the 4 members in the Helium Foundation. And in the we have these cat amendments, and we have the right to issue 25 legendary NFTs to any special community members, just like, you know, most NFTs do, to help grow the community.
I love that. You talked a bit about at the beginning sort of the vision or where you want the actual DAO to go, DY Hall, as you mentioned. Can you talk through a couple of the other, you know, future states that you see? Talking, you talked about onboarding Web2 folks, but what else do you foresee the DAO doing in the future that is not really happening today, but something that you're excited about? Is there anything you can talk about there?
Yeah, you know, DY Hall is really envisioned as a central hub for like DY cats, and really the future is up to the community. But of course, what I imagine is I would love for us to start small and then aim big, and start small by, you know, creating proposals that increase our treasury size, because that's really what's going to allow us to fund even more proposals in the future. So I would love to have us deploy more hotspots to be able to fund that treasury even more. I would love for us to start moving towards contributing to deepened protocols, and, you know, and get our name out there. And just the vision is to improve deepened and just really grow that. Eventually, you know, if the opportunity arises, you know, maybe we can create our own protocol. Who knows, right? There's the possibilities are limitless, and it's really up to the community to decide what we want to do, right?
Yeah. And I think that's one of the aspects of your project that I love so much, which is that it's fun, it's engaging, but really what you're doing is you're trying to continue building out, deepen, and solve pain points and problems that may be barriers for people, which is just, it's a really unique way of approaching the problem set. And so for that, I think it's going to be quite successful. So my other question was, are there specific tools that you don't have that are currently things that you hope that the community will sort of rally around and help build out within the DAO specifically?
Yeah. You know, one of the things we would really love to see built is when we launched DY Cats, we built all of this technology specifically for DY Cats, and we envision DY Cats and the community to be able to create these launch pads for other projects. So whether it be our engine that's created by the DY Cats community, that it becomes a launch pad for other projects to use, a launch pad for creating new DAOs using the Helium modular governance, even a launch pad for maybe, you know, in the future, building an NFT project that is backed by hotspots. I don't think we want to be the only NFT project that's doing this, right? We want to pioneer this, and we want to build the tooling that would enable NFT projects or other communities to do the same.
That's so cool. So you could become sort of the launch pad for other NFTs that people can create in their unique way, sell to their audience. But in the back end, what's happening is you're really building out these deep end networks in just kind of an interesting and fun way. That's such a cool approach. I really love that.
Thank you. Yeah, we're really excited. The community right now has been great. We're getting a lot of great ideas. So yeah, we're excited for what's to come.
Yeah, and remind me, how many NFTs were minted on the first batch again?
So on the first batch, we had 69 cats minted, and then we had 4 legendaries. So right now, there's only 73 cats.
Okay, so they're pretty rare.
Yeah, they're pretty rare. We started with like a very small community, and we wanted to make sure that these people were builders on the Helium network, and you know, they're really real big fans of Helium. And it really does show, because when we launched, like people are not selling, right? They don't want to let go of their DeWay cat. And I
sure.
think a lot of that is because of this connection that we made with this whole art engine process. When they were able to create their cat, you know, they love Helium. And I think that's really why they're here.
Clearly, the evidence speaks to that, which is quite exciting. So what else is next for the project? Obviously, we've got the daily auctions that are coming up. You've got a lot of proposals that are kind of working themselves out, being able to do the launch pad. Are there any other future activities or future aspects to the DAO that you're excited about that you can share?
So aside from, you know, the auctions going live, us creating a proposal to introduce more hotspots into the DeFi or to the treasury, our next strategy is going to be creating these tools. We haven't gone as far as what's the next step after that. That's really been our roadmap for this year. And, you know, we've had the soft launch. We've created a custom NFT project using Helium Modular Governance. Now our next milestone is going to be creating the auctions and deploying more hotspots for the treasury. And then after that, we'll start on the move to create more deep end tools and try to figure out what are the problems that we can solve.
That's super exciting. With revenues that are generated from these hotspots, is there a tooling layer that you'll build in where there will be sort of automatic disbursements to holders? Is there a way, does that all flow back to the treasury? Do you have any general ideas of how that will work for folks who are maybe interested in becoming a holder and just thinking about how the mechanics of that will flesh out over time?
Yeah, so at the time right now, you know, 100% of those rewards are going straight into the treasury. My idea was always to fund the treasury as much as we can so that we can fund future ideas. Now, that being said, there is a word in the community and, you know, people are starting to talk about some, you know, how can they split rewards of these hotspots and how can people do some work to split these hotspots, whether, you know, they're staking it or they're voting on certain proposals. There's a lot of ideas out there, and I think it's up to the community to decide what they want to do there. There's been ideas to, you know, partner up with Relay because they do the whole splitting for these big deployers. So
yeah,
there's so many possibilities, and I don't want to count that one out. It's up to the community to decide.
Yeah, that's amazing. You said something which triggered another question I have, which is staking. So for folks that are familiar with the Helium governance model, obviously that's a big component to being able to vote. In a world where you own a NFT and that is sort of your proxy for access to the DAO, how does staking and voting work at a really high level? Can you just unpack that for listeners so they can have some semblance of what you're doing on that side of the governance?
Yeah, so right now, to be able to vote, you need that DeFi cat in your wallet, right? If we did introduce staking in the future, I would like it to be non-custodial, meaning you don't lose access to your DeFi cat. A lot of staking that happens right now is custodial, so you lose access to that. There's ways of going around that, making it non-custodial, which I think people would really appreciate. So, you know, you still have your DeFi cat in your wallet, and you're still able to vote on these proposals. I think that, yeah, that would be the kind of the process of how we would go around staking and voting.
Yeah, interesting. Does that mean that there will potentially be a governance token of some sort with the DAO that you could envision? Or is it really all going to be NFT holders and that's sort of the end all be all?
The community is talking about introducing a token, a new token that has utility. And I can't go over too much of it, but the idea would be, yeah, you know, you could use them for governance. You could use them during the auctions. There's so many ideas there. And I think nothing is set in stone, right? It's up to the community to decide. So I could envision some new governance token that could be, you know, added on top of your DYCAT.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the amazing things about modular governance and a DAO structure is that the community can put forth these really unique ideas and then they can vote on it and then they can implement it in a somewhat autonomous way, which is super exciting for those that want to help shape the future project itself.
Yeah, I agree. I think you really have to leverage your community and really work together with them to be able to build the best possible project you can, right?
Absolutely. Was there anything else about the project that you want to share that we haven't got a chance to sort of touch on so far?
I just want to add that as we continue to grow and evolve DYCAT, I want to emphasize the power of community and the collective innovation. You know, the journey isn't just about creating an everyday NFT project. It's about building a community that leverages, you know, these decentralized technologies to make it, you know, a real impact in the deep end space. So I just want to make sure that, you know, even if you don't have a DYCAT, that doesn't mean that we're not going to value your feedback. You know, you can get involved by the auctions. You know, you could even get into our Discord or our Twitter and, you know, even give us feedback. We love hearing new ideas. And, you know, together we're not just collecting digital art. We're actually shaping the future for DeepIn.
I think that's a great reiteration because the community aspect is what makes all of this possible in the first place. And so the fact that you're intentional about it and you want to have contributions maybe outside of just holders, I think really speaks to how important and how much you guys value that as project founders. Well, for those that are interested, I'm sure this is going to generate a ton of interest for folks because I know it's really an awesome vision that you guys are out trying to put forth into the world. Where can folks stay up to date with everything you're doing, learn a little bit more, buy a DYCAT if they want on the secondary, if there's any available right now? Not sure that there are, but where can folks stay up to date with the project?
Yeah, to stay informed about all things DYCATs, I encourage everyone in the community and any interested listener to follow our official channels. That's going to be, you know, Twitter, Discord. We have our own website, which is linked on both our Twitter and our Discord. We're very active on all those platforms. And yeah, that's going to be the best way to see how to get a DYCAT, how to get involved.
That's awesome. And we'll be sure to link all of that below for folks that are ready and wanting to go check that out and get involved. And are there ways that people can get involved even if they're not a holder? Are they able to join the Discord and participate in the conversation as well?
Yeah, so anybody can join the Discord. We do have DY Hall, some specific holders chat gated to by the NFT for the community. With that being said, it doesn't mean that you can't go into the general chat or these public channels and just talk about specific proposals that are out or just specific ideas that you have. The whole team is so respective to that feedback and we're always improving.
And again, it sort of shows your guys' commitment to community-driven governance. And I think everybody can really appreciate that. And certainly it helps incentivize the want to get involved because the non-holders are able to do that and feel like they're part of the community too, which they certainly are. Well, Lewis, I'm really glad we had a chance to chat. I love what you guys are doing at this project. It's super unique and it takes the fun aspects of NFTs and it combines it with the power of a DAO, and it's solving such a huge problem, which is this, you know, proliferating DPIN and DY into the world and helping regular folks that just, again, don't have that ability to maybe go out and set up a hotspot, get involved. So I really wanted to thank you for coming on and getting a chance to chat about something that's a little bit different than what we normally talk about, because it's really an important mission that you're doing. And so I just wanted to thank you again for taking the time to chat about it.
Thank you so much, Tyler. Yeah, thank you for taking the time to chat with me. Really appreciate it. And yeah, we're hoping that this new asset class, you know, can inspire other projects to do the same. So we're really looking forward to the future.
Absolutely. I certainly think you're going to be a trendsetter in that space. Well, great. Everyone, we're going to wrap it up here. We want to thank Lewis again for his time. We'll be sure to link all of those social channels down below. Go follow them on Twitter, join their Discord, get involved. if you are interested in being a holder in the future, it sounds like that's right around the corner. So stay up to date with what they're doing on Twitter so that you can get access to those mints when they come. But we'll wrap it up here. Wanted to say thanks again, and we'll see you all in the next one. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Thank you.